Thanks for joining us for today's message. We encourage you to email us and let us know what God is currently doing in your life. Or if you'd like to support the ministry financially, you can do so here on our website. For now, we hope you enjoy this message. Thanks for tuning in today.
Well, we're going to just discuss the word tonight. I've got a message for you here. You know, the context of this and the kind of the backstory is this, is we're getting ready to launch life groups for the whole church, small groups and home groups. And right now we're in the process of basically getting the host homes ready, you know, getting dates picked and so forth and getting all that organized behind the scenes. And then basically mid-March, you know, you're going to be able to, next week, you'll be able to actually register and get signed up for a host home. And it's going to be kind of neat because we're going to, you know, it's not all age-related. So, you know, the young generation can be with us, older generation, and we're going to try to just mix things and, you know, learn some things from them. They can hopefully learn some things from us. You know, I know when I was in my early 20s, I had all the answers, but nothing at all to show for it. Let's just put it that way. But we're going to be studying the book of James. And the book of James, it's full of faith, it's full of hope, it's full of love. It's basically the New Testament version of Proverbs is what I always say. And, you know, we're going to get into the Bible. We're going to fellowship with one another. We're going to connect with one another. And that's what I'm going to talk about tonight is connecting and building relationships. You know, my title of it is that we're better together and that we need each other. We need one another. Amen. But again, those small groups, that's going to be kind of weaved in throughout here and connecting with one another. And so the goal tonight is really for you to walk away with just a better understanding of the importance of connecting with one another and how it can make a significant impact in your Christian life and in your Christian journey. And that might sound pretty simple, but again, hopefully we open you up to some things of you know, why it is so important to be connected with the body of Christ and other believers and so on and so forth. Romans chapter 12, verse 5, it says this. It says, in the same way, even though we are many individuals, Christ makes us one body and individuals who are connected to each other. So again, there's many individuals in here, obviously, but again, he makes us one body. You know, you don't have a hand over here and an elbow over there and a heart back over there. It's again, it's many individuals, but he makes us one body. And God created us for a connection. And we do need each other. Look at your neighbor and say, I need you and you need me. Amen. Hopefully your wife didn't say you need me worse than I need you. Amen. But again, we're talking about better together and how we need each other. And God has always been a family man. You know, the Trinity actually explains himself in family terms. He says, I am the Father, I am the Son, and I am the Holy Spirit. And God, before he created man, it's not like he was sitting there in heaven and that like he was lonely or like he was bored or anything like that, right? He didn't need to create us. He already had a family created. He created us because he had a desire to extend his family. Amen. And it's a big calling on our lives. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, I'm going to rattle off some scriptures here. We're going to do the main verses in the book of John. So you can kind of pause and just take all this in or take notes until then. But again, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, it says this, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Christ Jesus. Listen to this. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So again, he wanted to extend his family. It was the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and he wanted to extend that family. Obviously, the angels were with him from the beginning of before time, you know, from eternity's beginning. But again, he wanted to extend that family. And he had a master plan, and this plan was to create us. It was to bring us into his family. And it was for him to share all the things that he has for us. And if you really think about that, you know, it's really overwhelming. I know Pastor Vicky says a lot of times how great of an honor it is to be called out of the, you know, the world and into God's kingdom and to be a part of God's family. It's an honor and it's a great privilege and nothing on this earth compares to it. You know, no amount of money, nothing else compares to being in a relationship with God and having him as your father and having a family. Amen? It's an amazing thing. So whenever you feel unimportant or maybe unloved or insecure, really come back and think on these things. It gave God great pleasure to create you and bring you into his family. And that's good. Good news. Amen. So life is better together and living together rather than doing this alone. You know, the first problem in the world was actually not sin. You know, the Bible talks about sin all throughout it, but you know, and we think a lot of times, hey, that was the first issue. But it really wasn't. When you go back and look at creation and in Genesis chapter 1, when God was creating, you know, light and the sky, land, the sea, he was creating, you know, the plants and the trees, and he created all the creatures. Everything he created, after he created it, he said, it was good. And then if you go over to Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, here's what he says. He says, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper or a companion comparable to him. So he said everything was good until he created man, and then he said it's not good that man should be alone. So he didn't want man to just live in solitude and live alone. Yeah, man, you know, Adam obviously had a relationship with his father, but he knew that he needed companionship. He needed somebody to walk the earth that was like him, that he could have that help meet and that they could get along and move along together. You know, and I think about, you know, my story, I spent 3.5 years in prison, and solitary confinement was one of the worst punishments that there was. I mean, it was physical torture, it was mental torture. I remember talking to guys that would do 30 days in the hole, and they would come back and they'd say, you know, there was like one light in the middle, and they could see their shadow in the room, and after a few days, they'd start talking to that shadow. Because see, we were created for relationship. And they mentally start going crazy. And then when they come out, they're not getting any sunlight. They're, you know, they're anxious in there, so their digestive system's all a mess. And I'm telling you, you know, you can tell that they've, just by physically looking at them, that they are not healthy whatsoever. So solitary, you know, what did God say? It is not good for man or for woman to be alone. We're not meant to do this life alone. We're not meant to live in isolation. We're better together, amen? And we need one another. When COVID-19 came out, you know, you think about when, and I get it, you know, they did the social distancing thing, but it shouldn't have been social distancing, it should have been physical distancing, because words matter, right? You know, separating people, and I understand why they did that, to, you know, they did what they knew to do, you know, at the beginning of it, to quote unquote flatten the curve and all that stuff, and I won't get into all that. However, social distancing rather than just physical distancing, again, it's not healthy, and everything went up. Depression went up. Suicides went up, addictions went up, alcoholism, all that stuff went up. I remember talking to Travis and you know, he goes into the rehab facilities and talks to people, and he said, man, you know, a lot of people ended up relapsing during COVID because, again, they were isolated. They didn't have anybody to hold them accountable, anybody to talk to, anybody to do life with. Again, it's not good for man to be alone. Amen. And in the middle of a crisis, that's when you need relationships even more. So it's like you get isolated and you get social distance, but that's when we really needed relationships the most. There's a percentage, 40% of Americans, they say, are close to no one. They don't have anybody in their life that they're close to, and they're lonely. You know, just being around people doesn't mean that you're not lonely. Amen? That can happen a lot of times. Amen? You know, and men, I'll speak to you, for a lot of times as men, when we go through crisis and adversity, what do? We want to duck and cover. We want to just, you know, isolate ourselves and kind of hope and pray that everything works out. We don't want to reach out, and we don't want to ask for help a lot of times. And it's not good that man should be alone. Amen? And God gave us this biblical principle or this biblical setup for actually how we're supposed to operate as a church body. Amen. And so I'll transition to that. Acts chapter 20:20. If you remember back in the year 2020, Pastor Vicky got that word. She said, this is the year 2020, and we're standing on Acts chapter 20, verse 20. And it says this. It says, I kept nothing back that was profitable unto you. And basically Paul was saying this. He was saying, I told you what you needed to hear. Does anybody have any truth tellers in their life? My wife's a truth teller. She'll tell me the truth when I don't always want to hear it, but definitely need to hear it. So he told you what he needed to hear, but he says, I have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. So that's the biblical setup of the New Testament church. Publicly, like we're doing here, large group meetings, Sunday and Wednesday. Amen? That's the publicly that he's talking about there. And then these small groups, this house to house, connecting with one another. You know, it's really hard to you know, minister to people in 3 to 5 minutes before or after service. You know, we all show up to church kind of with this mask on. How you doing? Oh, I'm good. You're good. Everybody's good. But a lot of times we're not doing good, right? We put on this kind of, you know, and we're not trying to be fake or phony, but again, it's just the timeliness of when it is that we're struggling and having issues. And that's where, you know, these home groups and these connect groups, it gives you an opportunity to connect with one another and build these deeper relationships. So it's not just this superficial conversation, but we can go a little bit deeper. Amen. And it's a good thing. You know, and in the messages, if you've been paying attention, God is always ahead. You know, in the Bible, it says that the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, will show you things to come. At the beginning of the year, you know, or the end of last year, they were talking about reset and resetting your life. And then the first message of 2022 has been on unity and how we're supposed to come together as in one accord. And then every Wednesday night, Pastor Mike has been talking about love. You know, he's just gotten a deeper, open, you know, more open revelation on that. And then on Sundays, this Sunday, he's going to preach on faith, and that's what he's been preaching on as well, getting back to the basics of faith. But again, it's always God's ahead of schedule. So you're always wanting to pay attention and look at that and know that, hey, if he's talking about love, he's talking about unity, he's talking about faith, that means some stuff can come into our lives if we're not examining ourselves and again, you know, paying attention to that and making sure that you're walking in love, making sure there's no strife and that you're in unity. And again, you're building your faith. Just like this Russia-Ukraine crisis that's going on. Who knows what's going to end up happening and all the ripple effect that can happen, but you need your faith strong because, again, if you're walking by faith and not by sight, it doesn't matter what's going on in the world because, again, you live by a different kingdom, God's kingdom. Amen? So I'm going to give you 5 relationship principles from the life of Jesus. And here we're going to start in the book of John. We're going to be in John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. And each one of those chapters has a principle of how he teaches, you know, us to live in relationship with one another. Amen? So here's the setting of John chapter 13. And you can turn there if you've got your Bibles. So we're at it's the annual Passover festival. So they're having a meal and they're celebrating, you know, God and how he passed over the Israelites back when they were in bondage and in slavery, you know, in Egypt and so forth. And every year they do that. The Jews, the Jewish people, they still celebrate that to this day, man. And so to set the context of John chapter 13, they were basically having this meal and Jesus gets up during the meal and he ends up putting on a towel and he starts washing the feet of all of the disciples. And in John chapter 13, verse 6, we pick up the story, of course, Simon Peter, old loudmouth Simon. So he comes to Simon, Peter, and who said to him, he said, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. And so he corrected Peter. And of course, Peter got it right. He said, hey, don't just wash my feet. You know, go ahead and give me a whole bath. Amen? Because, you know, he was quick to get things corrected. But the first principle that Jesus teaches us about relationships is this. I need people who will care for me. So we all need people who will care for us. We need to care for one another. We continue on the story in John chapter 13. If we go down to verse 12, it says this. It says, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and he returned to his place. He said, do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. Verse 15 says, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. So he was always teaching by precept and example. He was showing them by example, this is how you care for others. You know, I'm gonna be leaving soon and I'm just showing you how you care for one another. They've already been with him for 3 years and he had been teaching them and leading them and discipling them. But again, he's getting ready to go and he's giving them some final things. And again, the first thing we need to learn here about relationships is how to care for one another. And for us to get through these uncertain times. You know, it's always uncertain. You know, the tough part about nowadays is, you know, with social media and with your phone, you've got news at your fingertips from the time you wake up to the time you go to bed. You know, when we were a kid, we had 2 or 3 channels. You had the 6 o'clock news for 30 minutes only. and there wasn't just as much, you know, chaos. I'm sure it was still going on, but you just weren't as exposed to it. So again, in these uncertain times, you know, we have to be caregivers, but we also have to be care receivers. You know, I used to talk to, you know, we in the gym, our niche market was mid-30s to mid-50s females. And I'd always tell them, you know, women, you know, a lot of times are like this, especially moms, you know, they take care of their family. They, you know, Melissa, a lot of times she's getting everybody's meal fixed. And then she's a lot of times the last one to sit down with her meal. And that's kind of how it is in life with most women. You know, they're taking care of everybody else's needs and then they're putting themselves last. And I'm telling you, you need to learn also how to care for yourselves. Amen. And it's okay to be cared for. You know, if it's not a handout, it's just a hand up. And that's what we do when we connect and we walk together, you know, in this Christian journey. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 through 10, it says this: two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. This may sound like a negative confession, but it's like this: there's gonna be a day when you're gonna fall down. And we've all fallen down. I've had many times in my own life, you know, through business transitions and various things like that where we fall down. And, you know, again, as a man, I wanna isolate and but you know, it's like disciplining myself to know to reach out for help, to reach out to brothers in Christ and reach out to my pastor and ask for help. And there's just something about that unity. Romans chapter 12, verse 15, it says, "You rejoice with those who rejoice, and you weep with those who weep." 1 Corinthians 12, 26 says, if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. See, all of us have to take care of all of us. You know, Cain said, am I my brother's keeper? And the answer is yes. We are our brothers and sisters' keepers. We need each other. We need to take care of one another. Amen? I think about, you know, Julie Turveen. We've been praying for her. She's in the hospital. She's battling COVID. They've got her intubated, and I've been talking with her husband, Roger, And you know, it was just neat to see on Monday at prayer, you know, we were praying for her and kind of we're going to transition on. And then Pastor Vicky, you know, I just watched her get down on her knees, you know, and bow before God and just intercede on her behalf, you know, taking authority over the spirit of fear, taking authority over the spirit of death and speaking life into that situation, just proclaiming that Jesus did take her infirmities and he did bear her sicknesses. And by the stripes of Jesus, she is healed. And I'm telling you, just, you know, seeing everybody get together, that's care for one another. That's her showing us by precept and example how to do this thing. Amen? And that's why it's so important to come, like, you know, Sunday morning between services, that prayer service from 9:45 to 10:15. You learn by seeing. You know, when we were building businesses, we'd have Saturday morning trainings. But I'm telling you, if I had a person in a car for one afternoon, you know, going out and doing meetings with one-on-one, I could teach them more in one afternoon than 10 or 15 or 20 meetings where I'm at the front of the room and I'm teaching on a chalkboard or on a whiteboard, basically. Amen? Things are rather caught than taught by precept and example. Amen? So the first thing Jesus taught about relationships was that we need to care for one another. The second thing is he said, I need people who will encourage me. Who can use some encouragement from time to time? John chapter 14, verse 1, it says this. It says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. So he's getting ready to leave his disciples, and they're getting worried, they're getting anxious, and he said, hey, trust me, guys. It's all gonna be all right. I've prepared you. I've taught you. You know, I've taught you by precept and example. You guys got this. Amen? And that's what he was encouraging them in this. That word encouragement simply means to lift the spirits up of somebody else, and never miss an opportunity to encourage somebody. Never miss that opportunity. The Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. You wanna be encouraged? Go be an encourager to somebody else. I try to never miss an opportunity to encourage somebody, to exhort them and lift them up. Amen? Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, it says, but encourage one another daily. We need encouragement daily. As long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. You know, I think about when Noah, you know, got diagnosed with ulcerative colitis, and you're sitting in the doctor's office, and they're using these big words like incurable and all this stuff, and it starts to shake your faith. And I remember we ended up calling pastors, and they had us over to their house. This was probably, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, somewhere around there. But I just remember we were, you know, kind of explaining the situation and what was going on, and it was Melissa and I and Noah, and she just started to speak life into us. She said, you know, you're tithers. You know how to do this thing. You're people of faith. You know, you just hold fast to the word of God and you got this thing. And I'm telling you, it was such an encouragement. It just charged me up and it changed the whole perspective on it. Instead of operating in fear and what's gonna happen and going out on the internet and researching all this stuff on WebMD and all doing all that, that does nothing for you. Doesn't matter, you know, yeah, you need to be educated on stuff, but that takes you down this thread where you start reading all these testimonies that are negative and how it's not gonna work out instead of this testimony. Yeah, we don't deny those facts. We don't deny the fact that you know, he's battling that, but the truth of the word of God overrides those facts. Amen? Amen. So encourage somebody. Look at your neighbor and say, you're gonna make it. Now give him a high five. Man, you got to get some energy going in here, amen? There you go. One tip. Anytime you're going throughout your day and somebody comes to your mind, act on that immediately. Either call them, text them, because that's not just some random fleeting thought. You know, brother just texted me the other morning. He said, we're praying, you know, Ephesians over your life. And, you know, it's just out of the blue, but man, that encouraged me. You know, I was like, man, it's awesome to hear, you know, people are praying for you and so forth. I know Melissa and I, we battled COVID-19 the end of July, beginning part of August. It was over her birthday. And, you know, just having people message us. You know, I thought before, I was like, man, I'm super fit. I'm, you know, take all these vitamins and stuff. I'll just fly right through this thing. I'm telling you, I felt like I got hit with a baseball bat. So it was awesome having people, you know, message me and encourage me and lock arms with me. And I tell you what, I learned a lot of empathy and not to run my mouth so much. Amen? Amen. But this is how Jesus trained his disciples. He did it by example. Again, by putting that towel on and washing each other's feet, just like watching Pastor Vicky and how she interceded for her, has been interceding for Julie. And that's the leadership, amen? And you just fall in behind that. So the first thing is again, he needs us to care for one another. The second thing is to encourage one another. And the third thing is that Jesus taught in John chapter 15, he says, I need people who will partner with me. They'll partner with me. John 15 verse 4, it says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Think of a branch that's out there on its own. Apart, you know, when you pull a branch or a branch falls off the tree, what does it do? It dies, right? Unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. That much fruit means we're being productive. We're bearing fruit. He says, for without me, you can do nothing. Another term for partnering with Jesus and partnering with one another is we're doing life together. You know, some small groups, they call them life groups. I've heard one, it was called Living in Freedom Every Day. You know, there's power in community. There's power in doing life together. There's power in being able to pick up the phone and call somebody when you're going through it, amen? And having them pray for you and you can kind of, you know, unload on them and instead of pouring gas on the fire, they're gonna put water on the fire and they're gonna help you, you know, walk through it. Because again, you would want somebody to do that for you, so you make sure that you're doing that for other people as well. Amen? So realize this, we are doing life together, that you're not alone. Amen? And other people have problems as well. When you get together and connect groups, you know, I heard a buddy of mine say one time, he said his dad had told him if we get in this giant circle and all of us throw our problems in the middle that we think are so great, we'd probably look at our neighbor's problem and go and race to get our problem and bring it back. Amen? Because everybody's going through something. Amen? But it's good to know that as well because, you know, the enemy's biggest trick a lot of times is to get you isolated and to get you to think that you're the only one that battles or deals with this. And I'm telling you, 100 out of 100 people, including me, that walk through those doors are battling something. Amen? And that's not a negative confession. We're walking above it. We're in victory. Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. But again, there's attacks that are coming, and a lot of them are upstairs. Amen. I had a buddy of mine I remember back when we first started doing, we had an Advocare business. It's a nutritional supplement business. And, you know, I started it to kind of piggyback it on along with the gym while I was training clients and I needed a supplement to sell to them. But then eventually I started figuring out that, hey, you could actually build a team and build leadership and all this other stuff that I didn't even really, you know, understand or have a desire to do. And we earned a trip down to Sedona, Arizona, maybe back in 2008 or 9 or somewhere like that. And I remember talking to this guy, you know, who had real good success. We were just brand new in it. And he had great success. And his name was Bob. I said, Bob, you know, how do you do this thing? And he said, well, are you having any cookouts? And I'm like, cookouts? Like, I'm trying to sell supplements and do all this stuff. Why would I have cookouts? And he said, man, you need to have people over to your house so that they can see how you communicate with your wife. They can see how you lead and how you respond and how you treat your kids. You need to bring them into your world and you need to do life with them and that'll build your business. It certainly wasn't what I was looking for. Amen. But I look at like Trav back there. I remember, you know, he came out of a life of addiction, you know, out of meth and you know, just was used to chaos and like Melissa and I were before we got saved. You know, we brought him to church, first of all, and then we just brought him into our house and we let him see, you know, how we lived and how we operated. And guess what? He started to be attracted to the Jesus, the light that was in us, rather than the world that was in him. And that was a process of time. Obviously, he got born again. You know, he got filled with the Holy Spirit. He was doing his part. He was disciplining himself. He was putting the Word of God in. But again, he was spending time with people that had life in them. And then it was a duplication process. And then he brings Michelle Fisher in and same thing. We just start that process over and over and over. And that's the strength of these small groups, these connect groups. You know, there's people in this room, many of you, that you need to allow people into your life so that they can see how you operate. Amen. You know, I know Carl and Amy, when Melissa first came in, you know, she watched their lives and Amy took her under her wing and, you know, mentored her, prayed with her and believed God with her when I was down there in prison. And I talked to Carl the other night and he said when they first came in, you know, they went to Greg and Deneen's Bible study and they mentored them. And again, it's just, God wants a family, right? He wants to have lots and lots of kids. We are saved to become disciples and to go make disciples. Amen. And again, life was not meant to be lived alone. So the fourth principle that he teaches here is in John 16, he says, I need people who will protect me. So number one is care for, encourage, partner, and protection. So John 16, 1, he says, these things have I spoken unto you that you should not be offended. And Pastor Mike's taught on that word offended a lot of times. It comes from the original word scandal. Another meaning for that is to cause to stumble or to fall away. So see, we need each other so we don't backslide, so we don't stumble and fall away. And we don't judge one another when we do stumble and when we do go through things. No, we love one another. Amen. I went and met with a young man that you know, today on my way home, when I went home in between work and coming tonight, that he's been struggling. You know, he wasn't answering his phone. He didn't show up for work for a couple days. And so I didn't know what I was going to find. I went and, you know, the moment I knocked on his door, he opened it up. And it was like, you know, I didn't know what was going to be on the other side there. But, you know, he just started breaking down crying. Amen. And I just sat there and I visited with him. And he said, I just feel so guilty and I feel so much shame. And I said, listen, I always tell my boys, like, I love you guys no matter what. There's nothing you can do to make me love you any more or any less. Yeah, God isn't pleased with the choices that you've been making, but he doesn't love you any less. He's standing there like the prodigal son with open arms, just waiting for you to come back. And all you got to do is 1 John 1:9, confess your sins because he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Amen. And he'll take you back. Now, of course, in our limited thinking, we can't imagine why would God do that? Man, he just completely wipes that clean and it was just encouraging him. And I said, hey, I don't judge you. Like, the only difference between me and you is a little bit of time and some belief and some word in me, but you're going to get there as well. Amen? And so we don't beat people down when they're baby Christians and they're just starting out and they stumble and they fall. Amen? What's Jesus saying here? He's saying, I'm watching over your life and I've got your back. Jesus has got your back. Isn't that good news? And he's teaching us to have other people's backs as well. And this comes down to accountability. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12, it says, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back. Carl, why don't you hop up? Danny, hop up. So Carl, you face that way. Danny, you go back to back and you face that way. See, Carl can't see. Be brothers now. Brothers love each other. Amen. See, Carl can't see what's behind him, but Danny can. And see, Danny can't see what's behind him, but Carl can. Noah, hop up there. You get on the other side there. Here's what it says. Two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. See, look at that. That's biblical right there. Amen. You can go ahead and sit down. Give a hand for those handsome young men. Amen. A threefold cord is not easily broken. Jesus set it up that way. He had his three inner circle, Peter, James, and John. And then next he had his 12 disciples. Amen. And obviously those three were part of that, but those three were in his inner circle. Amen. So I'm going to ask you some tough questions here. Is anyone in your life close enough that can ask you these hard questions? That's accountability. Here's some of these questions. Have you been in a compromising situation this week? Have any of your financial dealings lacked integrity? Have you viewed any sexually explicit material? Have you spent quality time in Bible study and prayer? Have you given priority time to your wife, to your family, or to those that are closest to you? And the final question, have you just lied to me? Amen. It's hard for us to open up and share with one another and share the truth, but there's healing in that. Amen. We need accountability. Again, Jesus had those three, Peter, James, and John. You're like, really, Jesus needed all this? Yeah, he was our example. He set it up this way. You know, we think Jesus just walked through life without any temptation, no worry. No, he was a man. Yes, he was man and God, but it says he put aside his deity when he walked the earth. He was led by the Holy Spirit, but he was our example. Amen? Now, here's the deal with people asking you the tough questions. I'm not telling you that you should tell everybody your problems. Matter of fact, don't do that, but you need to tell somebody. The more we keep things bottled up and we internalize things, that just gets that root deeper and deeper and deeper. And man, those roots get so deep. And the Word of God, it can cleanse anything out, but man, it's tougher. The more years you go with, you know, harboring whatever it is, bitter and anger and secrets and all this stuff, it's best to just root it and get it out right away. And here's the deal. If you're the only one who knows your secrets, you're in trouble. So again, who in your life do you allow to ask the hard questions? You need to have accountability. The fifth and final thing is I need people to pray for me. So one is care for, encourage, partner, protect, and finally pray for me. John chapter 17, verse 1 and 9, here it is. He says, after Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and he prayed. And he prayed a bunch of stuff, and then we go down to verse 9. He says, I pray for them. He's actually praying for the disciples. He says, I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. You know, when I read this initially, I was like, that's kind of weird. He just prayed for his disciples. And he says, I am not praying for the world. I was like, man, that sounds kind of harsh. You know, like we need to be praying for the world. You know, my take on it or my belief is that he knew that if I pray for the disciples and I've taught them and I've showed them how to do this, that if I pray for them, that they've got this and they'll take this to the world. And obviously here we are 2,000 years ago talking about Jesus and what he started there, you know, when he prayed for those disciples. And it's just been this multiplication, this duplication of building a family. Amen? Ephesians 6:18, as we're starting to wrap this thing up, if the musicians want to come up, we'll land this plane here. It says, Ephesians 6:18, it says in the message, it says, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Amen? And you know, I'll end with this scripture, James chapter 5, verse 16. This kind of sums up the whole thing. He says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. It says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much. You know, it's like I said earlier, you know, forgiveness comes from God, that 1 John 1:9. You know, You know, you don't have to go to a man or a priest or anything like that. You go straight to the Father through his Son, Jesus, and you ask him for forgiveness. You confess your sins to him, and says he is faithful and just to forgive you of those sins. And that's the spirit part of it. But I believe that this James chapter 5, verse 16, I believe it's talking about your soul. And that's why we need relationships, and that's why we need connection. Because when you confess your faults to one another, that word faults, or first of all, confess just simply means to declare, to say it out loud, to speak that secret out loud, to exclaim, to divulge, or to blurt out. When we confess our faults, again, the faults refers to a person who has fallen, failed, erred, or made some kind of mistake. Anybody made a mistake since they become a Christian? All of us have. You know, again, just like that young man I was talking to, you know, the moment he confessed out of what was going on, you know, I believe healing comes at that point. I really do. I believe that that heals your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. You know, it's like the boys when they get into some sort of, you know, whatever, you know, we're both led by the Holy Spirit. Melissa definitely, I mean, she knows if we're all lying like way before we even tell the lie. So we sit at the kitchen table and, you know, I basically say like this, okay, this can be the hard way or the easy way. You know, you can get it out right away, or we can do this gymnastics and lying back, you know, and all this stuff. But once it comes out, once the confession comes out, healing begins. Amen. Confess your faults to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much. And then you pray for one another, like that guy and I did today. You know, and now I'm going to be checking on him on a daily basis and just checking in to see how he's doing. That accountability, that caring, that love. And this isn't about patting me on the back, but it's just showing you an example of how we walk this stuff out. Amen. Remember, what did Paul say? We have these large group gatherings, but we also have the small gatherings from house to house. It's getting into people's lives is what he's really talking about. And I'm telling you, when we've got people in our lives that care for us, that encourage us, that will partner with us and do life with us, that will protect us, right, from backsliding and getting offended, and that will pray for us, and you do the same for others, everybody wins. It's good news, amen? And that's how this thing has walked out. And that's what we're going to do with these home groups. You know, again, it's not rocket science. Of course, we've done things like this over the years, but, you know, it's just being more intentional with building the relationships. We have so many new people that have come in that need to get plugged in. They need to get into your lives. You know, those of you that have been doing this a little bit longer, so again, they can see how you operate in your household and the things that you do. And some of you, that might make you a little bit nervous. I don't know if I want them to say, no, you're there. Amen. You bring people in, they see the good, they see the bad, they realize that you're a human being and that you're not perfect, and that's okay. Amen? And that's a good thing. Well, did you get something out of the word tonight? I pray that you did. Amen. Again, it's about that connection and building relationships.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We'd love for you to join us for our Sunday morning services at 8:30 and 10:30. We also have a midweek service on Wednesday nights from 7 to 8. Thanks again for listening. Have a great day.